right, good evening. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're going to be singing 570. 570. I'll get you guys to stand and join with me. Number 570, Faith is the Victory.
Tonight. Good to have everybody here as the men come forward for tonight's offering. You know, we got these tracts that are in postcard form. And I'll tell you something, if you don't have any, get some. They're really handy to handle. Went to McDonald's tonight. You know, you're just talking to the guy at the counter there and just putting in some time talking. It wasn't busy. You know, you just pull these things out. They're really easy. Just hand it to him. And he sat there, or stood there, and he read the thing. And obviously, you know, he's got nothing else to do, you know. But he was reading it, and it was, amen, amen, he was reading it. So grab some of those things. They're really easy to keep on you, and they got some real catchy phrases on the front that you can just hand them to someone. Brother Paul McPherson, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
Thank you, Lord, that we can't go across the path. Lord, your great word that you've blessed each one that's handed up. We pray that you bless the service tonight, bless the preachers and preaches. Pray that you bless the singing. Help us, Lord, to stay close to you these days.
Amen. God bless you now as you give. Tonight's missionary letter is from the Liviers, and they write, "The summer of 2014 was one of progress here at City of Light Baptist Church in Montreal, Canada. We saw some new faces join us regularly, and we saw some people in our group take steps in their walk with the Lord. We rejoice in God's blessing. We praise the Lord for bringing the I love French. I'll just say it the way I would say it in English. Josiant family to us. They have been coming out for several weeks now, having moved to Canada from Haiti and a few months ago. They had tried out other churches, but after one Sunday with us, they said they had found what they were looking for. They have been regular, and their spirit has been of great encouragement to us. Then they say the Adore family, who have been with us on and off since the beginning, seem to have decided to put the Lord first in their home. Weekly Bible studies in their home encourage them to put Christ first in their marriage, child rearing, and in every aspect of their home. It appears that they have taken advantage of this and taken this message to heart, and the instant result is visible both in their children and in their lives in general. Then he also mentions a person by the name of Alexandra from the Ivory Coast via France has been faithful, but we still pray for her to trust Christ as her Savior. She is very consistent in attendance. We see her regularly outside of services as well, but she has not yet put her religious background aside to place her faith in Christ alone. She has now heard the gospel numerous times, but we are still praying for her to confess Christ as her Savior. Then there's a lady that they're dealing with by the name of Paula, and she's from Colombia. And I noticed everything in this letter here. A lot of the people they're reaching in Montreal are from other countries. So it seems to be a Mecca that draws them there. So this lady, Paula from Colombia, has been coming with her young son, Esteban. Her husband, Ivan, is not saved, but she seems excited about the things of the Lord. Melissa had lunch with her last week, and Paula's salvation testimony was clear. She is praying for a job, or else she will be going back home to Colombia for the winter. A few of our young converts are struggling through family issues. Romaine has been irregular in attendance since running into some problems at home. Catherine has not been to church since her mom's inability to return to Canada from a trip to Africa. Please pray that they will both choose to follow Christ daily in spite of these challenges. We have been active in evangelism with several responses of people who have expressed various degrees of spiritual thirst. Please pray for these contacts, as some of which are hindered by language. Several people, download the sermons from our website every week and communicate with us about it, but we long to meet them personally to share the gospel with them or to meet them in the local church. Our family is doing well. We are excited about the baby that Melissa is expecting in early December, and we are busy with preparations for that. Daniel Apley pointed out on Friday night that he was a miracle and that the new baby is also a miracle from God. He looks forward to playing hockey with his sibling this winter. Unfortunately, he will discover that babies are not born with skates on. Please pray for the following salvation requests: Alexandra, Bryce, Ariane, Jean-Francois, Catherine, Ivan, Lionel, and Martide. Then he says, please pray for the following babes in Christ: Rosario, Jessica, Romaine, and Catherine. We are also praying for wisdom about two things. Number one, potentially having English-speaking services, and also for some transportation method to bring people to church. And they said here, we would have 5 to 10 additional people if we just had a way to bring them to church. So they sign off, thank you for your continued love, your support, and your prayers, serving the Lord of the harvest, signed Eric, Melissa, and Daniel Levier. So let's pray for the Levier family at this time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to support a family who are reaching the lost in Montreal. We know that it's a great city. It's a major city, not only across Canada, but it's known around the world. And Father, it has drawn people from around the world to it. These names that I have just read, Lord, and you know who they are, and the Leviers want us to faithfully remember them, to pray for them, Lord. We just ask that you would really help those that are struggling. It seems that some of them are having problems within their family, and they're not growing like they should be. Others have loved ones that are not saved, and they themselves are saved, but think about that lady with her husband who's not yet saved. We pray for his salvation. And we pray for the Leviers, Lord, that you'd be able to help them and give them discernment on whether to start an English-speaking service as well. And also, Lord, give them wisdom on how to transport other people who would likewise like to be in their services but just can't on their own. So, Father, there is a need, but we know we have a Heavenly Father who supplies all needs. Father, we do pray for salvation. We do pray for church plants in the province of Quebec, that dark province that has been hidden under religion for so long. We just pray that you'd help them and give them the power and the encouragement to break through and to be the witnesses, and also be with the family and with the new addition that they're expecting, Lord, in December. We just pray for the health of the mother and the child. And Father, we look forward, Lord, for a great harvest on your account, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This time we'll have some announcements from Brother Baker.
All right, this Saturday we do have our teen activity. The teens will be going up to Wonderland, leaving the church at 8 o'clock in the morning. We should be back between 8 or 9. We will contact you with the exact times for that. I do have some teens that they don't have the finances, so we are looking for some church sponsors. If you're able to send to help out with one of the children going to Wonderland, the activity is about $40. So if you just help out with that need, that would be appreciated. The following Saturday, the 27th, is a dodgeball tournament. St. Thomas hosts that every year, and normally it's October. This year, they moved it up to September. We already had our Wonderland on the calendar, so we got back-to-back activities. That's September the 27th, and I'll get you the times, and I believe the cost is around $10 for that. We'll be taking the bus, and I don't think that was... Is there anything else? I didn't bring a bulletin with me, so I'll get you guys to stand and sing. We'll sing 611, In My Heart There Rings a Melody, 611. I have a song. Sent from heaven above, there never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. Who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. Theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. It'll be the song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. Of love. You may be seated. Thank you.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let me update you on a couple things and encourage you to keep praying about what you can do for the Bearing Precious Seed Project of distributing 200,000 John and Romans to homes in Ontario. We are about one-third the way there. We have about a month to go, and so keep praying to see what God will do. Now, we are committed to trying to make sure we finish that project, and so we really appreciate your help with that, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing. God has blessed us this year in a great way in our missions fund, and we are overwhelmed in some ways, and our church is kind of odd. Most churches will make their missions pledges and then struggle to get to them every year. Our church makes our missions pledges and then go 20,000, 30,000 over those missions pledges. And so that's a great problem to have. And it seems like God just continues to work on our hearts throughout the year, and we give more than we thought we could give, which means God is prospering us, and we're thankful for that. And so last night we had a deacons meeting, and we had some extra missions money that we've been trying to distribute and make sure that we are making sure it goes to missions. If you give to missions, we want all that money to go to missions. And so last night, as we got together with the deacons, and we took on the Daniel Ford family, missionaries to Moldova, and that were just with us for Vacation Bible School, and on the Sunday at the end of Vacation Bible School, good family, impressed a lot of people with some of the things they said. I tried to clarify with them, because I always like to know. They said, he made a comment that we try to live on less so that others can have Christ. And I asked him, I said, Brother Ford, what kind of salary do you get? And he says, we get $1,200 a month. That's to live on in Moldova. So I said, so how do you do that with children and all the rest? He says, we don't shop at the supermarket. We go down to the market and we buy things at the marketplace every day. And he says, so we have to be very careful. But he says, any money we have, we try to give into the ministry to help pick up people on vans and get them into church and win people to Christ. And so that impressed us, and we were thankful for that attitude. So we're also agreed last night to help them with the purchase of their van when they go back. And so we're thankful that Bethel Baptist Church is able to help in that way. And so we're excited about Missions Conference coming up in February. Start praying now. We have our missionaries already lined up. And I don't understand why, but I started praying about the Missions Conference back in January, and before we even had this year's Missions Conference, and immediately the Lord burdened my heart, immediately. I mean, there's just no doubt about it, to have Pastor Brian Thiessen as our keynote speaker this year. And so Brother Thiessen will be with us in February. I called him, he agreed, and so I'm excited about that, and he's going to come, and we have some missionaries lined up. Start praying now that God will work through that conference. The Featherstones are going to come for our banquet night and do some special music for us. We like music, don't we? And we're looking forward to that. I'll tell you this, in November, we have the Lake family coming back for our anniversary services. Dr. Charles Keene will be preaching, and we'll have the Lake family here. And they have a brand new CD, and they're praying that it'll be done in time, that they can bring it with them. They've got it all ready to go. They just have to wait for the manufacturer to send them to them, that they can bring a new CD when they come. So, Brother Wood, you can change your CD when you get your new one. He loves the Lakes. And he said, you put one in, and it stayed in there for how long? It was months, you told me at the time, months. He never took it out. So praise the Lord, you can get a new one and wear it out as well. And next year we're working on, we have a family, I want you to hear them, the Vasek family, the Joe Vasek family, just incredible music. And I had it playing in my office the other day, and Lori Took walked by and says, what's that? And so I gave her a copy, and I guess they haven't taken it out of their truck yet. They've been listening to it for days, and it's just good, good music. You'll really, really enjoy it. And next year we have the Calvary Quartet coming. We have the Featherstones coming. We have the Vasics coming. We have something else. Oh, Bruce Fry coming for our Chicken on the Grounds week. And so we got a lot of good music coming next year and a lot of good meetings. Pray about those. Be there in attendance and support the church. All right, Acts chapter 2 tonight. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd help us with it, strengthen us with it, Lord, and guide us to be better witnesses for Jesus Christ as we go out in the world to teach others about the gospel. Father, help me, Lord, fill me with thy spirit, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, we see the pattern of the New Testament church. Now, a pattern can only be established if you first have a command. And we do have a command. The Bible says in Matthew 28, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. In Matthew chapter 18, he's talking about how to resolve disputes in the church. He says, tell it unto the church. And so there was this organization that was founded by Jesus Christ. And somebody say, well, it started on the day of Pentecost. My friend, how can you tell it to the church if it had not been established yet? But in Matthew 18, Jesus said, tell it unto the church. So the church had already been established with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit, but they were already in the upper room. They were already gathered together. The word church just simply means a called out assembly of believers. And that was a called out assembly, meeting together and praying for those 7 days. And then the Holy Spirit swept through, empowered that church, and the church exploded in growth. 3,000 saved in Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 says, we see the pattern after the command. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And so we started a couple weeks ago talking about baptism. We introduced the subject, but I want you to understand tonight. You say, well, you're preaching to the choir. I'm not trying to preach to you about baptism. I'm trying to help you understand something. We are teaching people that don't know a thing about Bible baptism. And how do we answer their questions, and how do we teach them about those things? It is interesting that most people, if you were to sit down and share the gospel with them, they would look at that and say, well, you know what, I'm a Catholic, or I'm in part of this religion, and I understand a work salvation, and if I go to church, and if I do the sacraments, grace is imparted unto me, and I can be a child of God. And so they understand a religious Jesus. They don't understand a Jesus that came in grace. And so we have to teach them something new, and we have to show them what the Scripture says, and prayerfully that the Holy Spirit will take that seed that we plant and work it into their hearts, and it'll take root, and they'll accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. By the way, you cannot be saved by anything you say. The Holy Spirit saves people still today. Amen? And so make sure that you are in the Spirit and giving them the Word of God. And so after they get baptized, you got to teach them, or after they get saved, you have to teach them about baptism. And you say, well, is really that my job? I've led them to Christ. And that's the unfortunate reality we live in today. A lot of people will lead somebody to Christ and nothing more. Years ago, I was trying to clarify with Pastor McDonald up here, and he couldn't remember either. It was either John R. Rice or Curtis Hudson. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But it was one of those two men that wrote a book called Winning Souls and Getting Them Down the Aisle. And I read the book, and it wasn't about some fancy evangelistic style. It was simply this: after we lead somebody to Jesus, what do we do next? Isn't there more? Jesus said we are to go and teach all nations. In other words, make disciples of people and disciple them and teach them. And so there's more than just winning souls to Christ. Can you imagine if we had a missionary write us a letter and Brother McDonald got up and read the missionary letter and said, well, you know what, this week I led 33 people to the Lord, and last week I read 27 people to the Lord, and the week before that I read, but we've not seen a person in church yet. We've not seen a soul baptized. We say, what's wrong with that missionary? Isn't he teaching them to get baptized and come to church and join the church and read their Bibles and do all those things? Well, listen, we must do the same thing. We are to be witnesses, the Bible says. And so we are to teach others the importance of baptism. Now, here's the thing. Somebody will get saved. They'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this has been my experience, and maybe it's been yours. You'll say, well, maybe now we've talked about salvation, you have assurance of salvation, you know you're going to heaven, you've trusted Christ. Let me talk to you about baptism. You know what they do? Oh, I've already done that. I was baptized as a baby. And that's what they'll say. And they don't understand. There's a lot of times I'll have somebody that'll come to church, and perhaps maybe it's a teenager that got baptized when they were 5 or 6 years old. They made a profession of faith. They got baptized. And then when they're 13, 14, 15, whatever, they say, you know what? I don't really know if I really got saved. I don't remember. I don't know. And so they'll come to the altar. We'll work with them. They'll pray. They'll accept Christ. We'll work with them on the assurance of salvation. And we'll say, okay, now the next step is baptism. And they'll say, oh, I did that though. That's not in the right order, is it? And so we need to learn how to teach baptism to people and answer their questions. And when they ask things, well, I was baptized as a baby. What do you say? And so we need to look at a little bit of that tonight. So we understand from our last lesson, we're not going to spend much time on that to rehash this, but baptism is a picture of the gospel. It is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 talks about baptism. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, tell us about what the gospel is. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, talks about being dead in Christ and a new creature in Christ. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago, but I think it's understandable here tonight that we baptize by immersion because of the picture. Now, don't get me wrong, the word baptism literally means to plunge or immerse, to put underwater. But the reason we do that is because it identifies us with Jesus Christ in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So that's the first answer we give people. They'll look at you and say, well, I was sprinkled, or I was poured, or I was this, or I was that. Listen, why do we baptize by immersion? Simply put, because the Bible says so. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch where there was much water. John the Baptist was baptizing where there was much water. Why is there much water? You don't need much water to sprinkle. If you sit in the first three rows, sometimes you get enough to get baptized in some churches, amen? Just sit in the, where the glory pours out, amen? But so they had much water. The Bible says that Philip and them went down into the water. And so there's the baptism is by immersion. So now, here's some things we need to explain, and I'll just give you a few things tonight, and if you can write down some scriptures that will help you. But mark my words, if you want to step beyond leading somebody to Christ and help them to be baptized and be obedient to Christ and join the local church, you're going to get these questions. There's no doubt in my mind, I get them all the time. So what is the first question? The first question obviously is this. If I get baptized, will that save me? Is it necessary to be baptized to be saved? Now, I'll put it very simply, no. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say baptized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't say a word about baptism. The criminal on the cross, was he ever baptized? No, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so it's not necessary unto salvation. Here's the problem. This might just be my opinion, but mark it and be careful of it. I think because we as Baptists and Biblicists, and we understand the Bible, we believe the Bible, we are so adamant about the fact that baptism does not save you, we have de-emphasized baptism. I think baptism is very important because it is a command of God. Let me say this, baptism is not a decision for you to make, it is a command for you to obey. It is our first act of obedience. I believe this with all my heart, that I don't believe that we will grow spiritually if we are not obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and the first step of obedience is baptism. Now, God is wonderful in his grace, isn't he? And people get saved and they'll begin to grow a little bit. But listen, if you know the right thing to do is to be baptized and you're not, you are in disobedience to the Lord and we must be baptized. So let's not de-emphasize baptism, but let's also understand baptism is not necessary for salvation. Now, somebody might say this. They might say, well, I got saved, but I was baptized as a baby. Is that okay? No. The scripture has some problems with infant baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, our text tonight, what does the Bible say? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, does a child have that capability, or an infant have that capability? No. Most children, probably till the age of 6, 7, or 8, really don't have that idea. There are some exceptions to that, and often children that are raised in church and raised in a Christian home are saved a little bit younger because they've had the Bible story since they were 2, and when they were 3 in the nursery, they got more Bible stories. In kindergarten, they started getting more teaching, and mom and dad are at home teaching them and helping them, and so they finally do accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior a little bit younger than others, but an infant cannot understand the gospel. It is a matter of making a decision to trust in Jesus Christ, and their minds are not mature enough to comprehend sin or salvation. I can't tell you how many times when somebody will come to me, a worker will come and say, oh, well, little Billy wants to be saved. And I'll say, well, that's wonderful. And I'll say, Billy, let me ask you this. Have you ever sinned? No, I've never sinned. Well, then are they ready to be saved? Obviously not. If without knowledge of sin, how could they ever be saved? They can't repent of anything. They can't ask forgiveness for anything. They don't need a Savior without sin. And so a child cannot do that. Infant baptism is by sprinkling. Can you imagine going into a church where they dunked babies? So if you were to talk to somebody and say, well, I was baptized as a baby, that's good enough. One of the things you can answer them and say, well, babies are sprinkled. They're never immersed. So right there just says that's the wrong type of baptism, and we need to look a little deeper at this and get this straightened out. So I've never, ever seen a baby baptism or heard of one where a baby is immersed. Now, I don't know. I was baptized as a baby in the Anglican Church, St. John's Anglican. I think that's right. Is that right, Mom? I'm baptized there. And from what I understand, my mother held me under for about 3 minutes. So that's the only immersion I've ever heard of. But it was a sprinkling, wasn't it? That's how they baptized. So right away, you know it's not biblical. Take them back to the word baptized. It just means to immerse, to plunge, to dip. And we are we're disobeying Scripture if we have immersed. So infant baptism, first of all, they can't understand. Second of all, the baptism's wrong to start with. Third, one is saved by faith and trusting Jesus Christ. And no church is given the authority to impart God's blessing on anybody. I am not saved because I got baptized into the church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Whosoever shall call. So salvation is not baptism. So when a little baby is baptized, they are put into the church and they believe that they're imparted grace and they're part of the faith and they're okay. They're part of the church. I can't tell you, I've been to funerals before. One of my neighbors growing up, his mom and dad both died young. And I went to both of those funerals at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Port Dover. And both times, they said, because of their baptism, over and over again, they were in heaven that day. Over and over again. And then the priest changed his entire message, and he said, we're all going to heaven because Christ died. Well, wait a minute, I thought it was because of the baptism. I was never baptized in this church. And so the message changes to meet the needs. Listen, that is not a scriptural approach. And so if somebody says, well, I was baptized as a baby, I'm part of the church, I'm in the faith, ask them, show me in the scripture where the church can impart grace. Just ask them. Show me where you can be saved by going to church. Because let me tell you, that's the easiest way. Just show up on Sunday, drop a $5 bill in the plate, and wouldn't that be wonderful? We all go to heaven. But that's not the scriptural way. And so that's another argument against infant salvation. We have to be mature and exercise saving faith. The New Testament is clear that God's word says to repent and be baptized in that order. Infants cannot repent. A lot of times, we were in the United Church, renting the United Church. I wasn't in the United Church. We were renting a United Church building. And one Sunday, they were a little bit late getting out of their service, and so they were coming out. And I was talking to a fella, and I said, oh, your service ran a little bit late today. And he says, yes. He says, we had baby baptisms today. And I said, oh, okay. And I kind of played ignorant with him. And I just said, oh, what was that about? He says, oh, you don't baptize babies? And I said, no, we don't. I said, well, why were you baptizing babies? He said, well, we baptized about a dozen babies in there today. He says, it was a great ceremony. He says we baptized them into the church. I said, oh, well, so now they're members of the church. And he says, yes, yes, yes. I said, so they vote at meetings and stuff? Well, no. I said, so what is the benefit of being part of the church? He says, well, now they're in God's grace. I said, really? Isn't it sad that when the Methodist Church and the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists got together and formed the United Church of Canada, now they're more like Catholics than they ever were Methodists? Because boy, I tell you, the Methodists used to preach the gospel. And there's a lot of good churches out there preaching, and they watered down their theology so they can get along. So we talked a little bit longer, and I said, well, I said, no, let me ask you this. I said, so that child, I said, what if he grows up and he goes out and he decides not to go to church anymore, and he decides to go out and rob banks and live a sinful life like that? He says, oh, well, we confirm them again when they're 13. I said, oh, tell me about that. He says, well, that means that when they're 13, we bring them up before the church and we confirm them. And what that means is they have a little bit of a class, and they take those class for a little while. And usually in their youth class, he says, we'll work with them. By the way, their youth pastor was a man living with a woman that had a 3-year-old child. That was their youth pastor. And so he said, we work with them for a while, and then when we're 13, we'll bring them up in front of the church, and we tell them, do you accept the faith? I said, what if they say no? Oh, that's never happened. He says they're already baptized in the church, so they already got grace, and so he says they're gonna confirm it when they turn 13. But to confirm the faith is not to accept Jesus Christ. All they're saying is, well, I believe everything this church believes, which really isn't much of anything. We come and we sing songs. And by the way, the offertories there were heavy metal rock music. Not Christian rock music. They were using heavy metal rock music. It was in the newspapers. You could read about it. It was crazy. There was nothing spiritual about it. That does not save anybody. And that's what infant baptism does. It puts them into a false position of believing that they're in the grace. And so you can use some of these things to help them understand. Infant baptism, in effect, forces on a child something they cannot understand, comprehend, or accept. There's no repentance, there's no of sin, and there's no belief or trust in the Jesus Christ. And most importantly, it's not found in Scripture anywhere. Not found in Scripture anywhere. In Acts chapter 16, turn there. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 30. And brought them out. We're talking about the prisoner, the prison keeper here. Paul brought them out. He brought the prisoners out and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. No word of a lie. When I was in college, one of the classes I took was Issues in Contemporary Theology, it was called. And one of the things we did is we took several weeks and we just looked at the Catholic catechisms. And one of them was about infant baptism. Do you know that's the only passage of Scripture they use right there for baby baptism that we just read? The Philippian, the jailer, he brought out Paul and Silas, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul answered him very succinctly, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then Paul preached to the house. He spake unto them the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed the stripes and was baptized, he and all his. So they're saying, well, there must have been a baby in that house. You read the Catholic Catechism on baptism of infants, and they will use that passage. That's the only passage in the Bible of the one that I read. And they say, there had to have been children, there had to have been babies, and they were baptized. Did Paul change his message? Because just two verses earlier, he says you have to believe and to be saved. And so there is no biblical basis whatsoever for infant baptism. So when dealing with somebody, you can show them these different scriptures. Who is the proper candidate for baptism? In Acts chapter 8, look back there, we see the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It took saving faith first. You had to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The candidate for baptism is not an infant. It's not a ritual to get you into a church. The candidate for baptism is the person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, absolutely, it puts you into the church. Acts 2:41, they were saved, baptized, and added unto them. I get that 100%. But that is not the purpose, first and foremost. The first and foremost purpose is to identify with Jesus Christ in an act of obedience. It does not save you. You must be saved first. So we see the eunuch. The Bible talks about Cornelius and his household. They were believed and were saved, and then they were baptized in Acts chapter 10. The Philippian jailer, we already read in Acts chapter 16. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believed, and later on that night, after they cleaned Paul and Silas's wounds, they were baptized. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, there were new converts there, and Peter commanded that they be baptized. John the Baptist's disciples, when they heard that Jesus Christ the Messiah believed, believed on him, they received believer's baptism. Have you ever thought about that? In Acts chapter 19, there were disciples of John the Baptist. They had already been baptized in the baptism of repentance by John the Baptist. But now when they heard that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, they went and took believer's baptism and followed after Jesus Christ. And so it is an important step of faith. If you have believed in Jesus, then you can be baptized. The scripture is just full of showing us that pattern. The Bible in Matthew 28, baptism is the first act of submission or obedience to Christ after one is saved. I could give you 100 verses tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. There has to be some great level of demonic deception for religions to miss this. You believe, you're saved, and then you're baptized as a profession of your faith, as an act of obedience. The scripture is so full of it, I don't know how we can ever miss it. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I've said this before, let me explain it again. Being raised in church, I was pretty little when we started coming here. Being raised in church, baptism just seemed natural. That was just something we did. But it's not that natural to everybody. And I asked myself the question one day, why do people have a problem with baptism? Why do they have a problem with it? And so I got thinking about, what is baptism? Baptism is, I'm going to put on a bathing suit and a funny-looking gown. I know some of you were laughing the first time you saw me come out in that white gown. I heard it. I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know? We put on a goofy gown, we get into a full tank of water in front of a room of people, and we get dunked. Boy, that does seem kind of unusual. But God is saying, if you're willing to do this for me, don't be ashamed. If you're willing to do this and be obedient in the matter of baptism, you'll do anything. And that's what Christ wants from us, is our hearts and our lives. Baptism is that first step. It's us saying, Lord, I'm willing to follow you anywhere. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to get in front of a group of people and go down in the water. And it in this silly looking fashion. But I'm willing to do it for Christ. Because why? I'm dead to self. That's what Christ is asking of us. That we just identify with him. God's plan for the believer, join a local assembly of believers. And there you can fellowship and worship. Show your thankfulness to God in giving your offerings and your work with other believers in ministry and carrying on the Lord's work. But baptism is that symbol, that common bond that places us and admits us to the local church. It's an act of obedience. You say, well, Pastor, what if somebody says, well, I don't know if I can be baptized. I got saved, but I you know what? I that's good enough. I'm saved. Can they still come into the church? We don't want people living in open disobedience as members of the church. Just that simple. And if you won't accept Christ and then be baptized, you're in open disobedience. And you're not willing to follow the Lord properly. Things are not in the due order. And so the command of Scripture is, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. In the name of the Father. And don't devalue it. It is important to obey the Lord. Let's pray tonight, and Pastor McDonald's going to come with our prayer request. Father, help us, Lord, to understand how we can teach others about this important ordinance of the church, Lord, how we must in obedience baptize those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Lord, we must also understand that those same people have to be submissive after trusting Jesus Christ and willing to profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this. Years ago, in Hamilton, I pastored a church that at one time had had a pastor. It wasn't a Marvin Massacre. It wasn't him. We had a pastor that taught easy believism. You want to go to heaven? Pray this prayer. Never talked about repenting of sin. Never talked about being a new creature in Christ. Just this very easy prayer type thing, you know. Over the years, I baptized every single Sunday school teacher we had. Every one of them. At some point, walked the aisle again and said, I was never really saved. I don't believe I was saved, Pastor. Can I? And so we'd sit there. They knew. They'd been teaching the gospel for years. And I remember one in particular, Mrs. Marshall, Bill and Donna, are friends with Donna Marshall. And she came down the aisle. And that morning, she says, I need to be saved. And she was one of the greatest ladies. I need to be saved. And she accepted Christ that day. She says, I need to get baptized tonight. And so we went and got the portable tank and we filled it with hot water and tried to get it as warm as we could. And when we baptized her, she came out of that baptismal tank and she went, woo! Praise the Lord. You remember that, huh? She came up with splash water over everybody. She just come up and, yes! Listen, if you're saved, don't be ashamed of getting baptized. Be excited about the fact that you can publicly profess that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen? Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's good. It's like sometimes you have a, you bring two or three children into the world, and you wouldn't dare, a loving parent wouldn't dare just take their newborn infant and just put it at different people's doorsteps. But when a church just goes out, gets people saved, and then doesn't baptize them, doesn't follow up, doesn't disciple them, doesn't get them into the church to grow, it's just like you're just dropping them on somebody's doorstep, anybody's doorstep. Who's raising them? So I'm glad the pastor brought that out. We as Baptists need to continue on with the Baptist heritage, which is the Bible teaching. You got your prayer bulletins out? Please note at the top there, Mrs. McPherson, having surgery tomorrow, esophagus surgery. So please be in extra prayer for her tonight, if you would please. Also, Garnet Wilson, that's Jim's father, who's in declining health, and if you'd be praying for him and for the family as well. I have a praise. My mom's not on there. She came home yesterday and seems to be doing well, and praise the Lord for that. If you just keep praying for her, I'd appreciate that. Also, yesterday and the day before, Pastor and I were able to go up to Barrie to the pastor's conference, the National Pastor's Conference, and it was just full of preachers from across Canada, and it's really, it really stirs your heart. Pray for Canada, pray for the pastors, pray for the churches they pastor, because it's just good. I can remember growing up here in the 80s and stuff, and it was just starting, the independent movement was really taking off here in Canada, and to see that many preachers, but we still need more. We still have a lot of empty pulpits in Canada that need to be filled, so we'd pray for them. Is there anyone else that you think should be added on here? Yes, Flo? Okay. What's his last name? Ty Logan? Okay. Ty Logan. It's T-Y. That's it? That's easy. I like that. Ty Logan. We'll make sure that he's added under the college students. Man. All right. Yes.
Chuck Simmons has heart surgery on Friday.
Okay.
Also, we have those lists of workers I promised to hand out. Did anybody get those? Some got them. If you want to raise your hand, I'm in the back of the table there, Dustin. Paul, I'll be back there. Yes. All right. People, I want to raise your hand. Great for the workers in our church. I'd like everybody to make sure you get those tonight.
These ones right here. Yes. Got a listing of all of our workers. All right. So Chuck Simmons, heart surgery, you said Friday?
Yes, sir.
Friday. So pray for him. Add him to the list, please. Someone else got something we should add?
Right
Oh, several. Yes. What's his name? Roman? Okay. R-O-N-O-N? Ronan. Pray for Ronan. He is not in the best of health right now, and he's sick to his stomach and stuff of that nature. Ronan. It's his first name. And was there another? Anybody else before we go to prayer? There's someone there. Yes, Austin. Do you have a first name for her?
She actually only gave me the name of her daughter,
Shauna. Shauna, okay. Pray for Shauna, who is not walking with the Lord right now, is that what you're saying? And falling away from the Lord. Her name is Shauna, and also for her mom that you were talking to. Pray for her, and try to encourage her to come back out to church. She used to come out to this church.
She said she had to
tolerate. Okay. All right. So pray for Shauna for her health. Pray for her mom that she needs to be under some Bible preaching and teaching for sure. Amen. Good work. Good work. Good work. Yes, Pastor.
He's teaching a school here, lost his dad this week.
George
Bauma.
Okay.
Yeah. And Pastor Rutherford has a funeral tomorrow with a young lady. She's only right around 30 years old. Died suddenly Sunday morning. She had some health issues about 3 or 4 months ago, and we came through them, and all of a sudden just died. And that really hurts a little church like that. And
all right.
It's tough on her.
So pray for Pastor Rutherford, the church, the family.
Beaver Valley Baptist.
I have a funeral coming up. Okay, yes, Paul.
Janet's surgery is at 11:45.
11:45 tomorrow. Okay. 11:45 tomorrow. So let's be in prayer with her for her tonight, also tomorrow at that time, 11:45. Okay. We'll go to prayer. First of all, before we do, does anybody have a praise? Something good. I mean, really good. You're busting the shirt. Yes, Pat or Paul. You're not the pastor.
Tonight. Dave and his wife and myself, we had a fantastic time on the street that we were on. We had some great contacts.
Great contacts. Amen.
That was a blessing.
Amen. That's good. It's encouragement, isn't it? Shot in the arm when it gets visits like that and out in the public. Amen. Good to hear. All right. Find a partner or a group, and we'll take these requests to the Lord at this time.